Hi, I'm Elizabeth Morrison, and when I'm not helping people find the best properties for their families or business, I'm listening to the Power Plug podcast by Fidelity Bank.
Are you a woman ready to charge up her business? You're in the right place. This is the Power Plug podcast by Fidelity Bank, where we believe in your POWER, the potential of women entrepreneurs realized, and all women with an entrepreneurial spirit. Each episode is filled with practical advice, tools, and tips to help you build your business and keep you energized. Now, for your host, Mary Foley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Power Plug podcast by Fidelity Bank. I'm your host, Mary Foley. In each episode, we talk with experts right here in the New Orleans area who share their insights, recommendations, and expertise to help you grow your business. You know, experts like, you know, Naomi Nassis, who talked about using market research to make big decisions for your small business, or how to demystify the whole outsourcing for manufacturing, and even tips on how to keep kids healthy in every season, because every mom wants their kids to be healthy. But when you're also a busy woman entrepreneur or small business owner, it's even more essential. To get these episodes and more, just go to fidelitybankpower.com. You can listen ASAP, and you can also subscribe and get access on an ongoing basis on your phone. You just click on one of the app icons, either the iTunes app if you have an iPhone or Stitcher app if you have an Android phone. Then you create a free account, and you can listen anytime, anywhere. Today, we're talking with Elizabeth Morrison about what can be confusing, but it's necessary to running and growing your business. And that's figuring out the right place to lease and also figuring out negotiating terms that can work for you and not against you. Elizabeth is with the RE/MAX Heritage team, and she loves commercial and residential real estate so much that she calls herself a real estate geek. Elizabeth, welcome to the Power Plug podcast.
Thanks for having me, Mary.
I'm glad you're here to take kind of like, I don't know, maybe it's the air out of the balloon or of this sometimes confusing, intimidating topic. You know, whether it's our first lease or maybe we're up for renewal on a lease and we may or may not like the space, but hey, we may or may not like the terms, right? So I am glad we're talking about this. And I know that as much, you know, like it is in life and business, not all things are created equal and not all leases for commercial space are created equal either. So let's just start with a really basic thing is what are the different types of leases and what are the pros and cons of each?
So there are two main different types of leases, a net lease and a gross lease. A net lease is more commonly found in retail centers and a gross lease is more commonly found in an office setting or an industrial setting, but there can be combinations of both. Neither really are positive or negative. They're just really structured differently as far as how the taxes, insurance, and common area maintenance are laid out in front of you. For a gross lease, you'll get one bill every month that will encompass your taxes, insurance, common area maintenance. For a net lease, you'll get your base rent plus those taxes, insurance, common area maintenance. So they'll be broken out into a dollar per square foot amount. So that's the two main lease types that you have.
Okay, so it's not really a pro or con. It sounds like what fits you best and also what might be offered. Is it typical that
Correct.
In any commercial space that they may have both options available or do they typically go with one option?
Typically, the landlord will pick one option that they're comfortable with, and that's mainly for accounting purposes for themselves. But they'll be one that will mandate the type of lease that you have. But it doesn't mean you can't make modifications to that to make it fit your business best. And that's an essential part of any lease, is getting the right type of lease that'll work for you and for your business.
Oh yeah, exactly. This is why we're talking to you. Okay. So I'm just curious also, what's more common, a gross lease or a net lease?
In an office setting, definitely a gross lease. That is almost the number one lease. In a retail setting, it's going to be the net lease. But there, like I said, there can be modifications that are essential to making that work for you. But the gross lease is probably number one in the New Orleans area for different types of leases.
Okay, great. All right, that helps us kind of give us an overall. So what typically is included in a commercial lease? And is there much wiggle room there to negotiate all those different terms?
Yes, there's always going to be wiggle room in how the leases are presented to you. Of course, if you take the terms from the landlord, they're going to be generally weighed toward the landlord's benefit. So you have to get some components in there that make that lease work for you. The main components of that are going to be your rent, your utilities, how those are paid, the taxes for the landlord's land that they pay for is going to be broken up into a proration per square foot that you'll pay and how that's paid. And then the insurance. There's generally insurance for the entire space. So that's liability if someone slips and falls outside on the sidewalk. And then there's your interior general liability insurance that you have to pay for. You want to figure out how all those things are going to be paid, who's going to pay for them, and how it's structured within your lease in order, is it going to be monthly or is it going to be annualized?
So for each of these main components of a lease, you mentioned rent, utilities, taxes, insurance. How much wiggle room is there to negotiate? Or what are the variables we need to consider, even if it's not about wiggle room, it's just options?
So there's not going to be a wiggle room as far as generally for taxes and insurance and common area maintenance. Those are really to your benefit in a lot of ways as well. The insurance is going to cover any exterior accidents, the signage, the roof ripping off, you know, in a hurricane, which unfortunately can happen here, different things that you want to make sure that you're covered for. So those are kind of set expenses. Common area maintenance can be like restriping the parking lots or, you know, renovating spaces, adding a security guard, things like that. Those are generally to your benefits. You're not going to be able to negotiate those parts of those that well, because they do benefit you. The parts you can negotiate are how your rent is structured, the escalations in your rent, and what's going to be included in that rent. You can include utilities. You can include signage. There are things that you can try to include in there that will benefit you long run that the landlord may not offer to you.
Okay. And so, you know, this really surprises me. This common area maintenance, you said like striping the parking lot. The first thing I was thinking was, well, isn't that totally the responsibility of the landlord?
It is and it isn't. It's a shared cost within the space. So you have a shopping center in which you have a retail space and there's a bunch of potholes or, you know, the striping is faded, the signage is old, the backlighting is out. They will put that portion into your rent. So at the end of the year, when they figure out how much it costs them, they'll split it up price per square foot, take your square footage, and they'll charge it back to you based on your lease. Now, you're not going to get 100% of that cost back to you. So if it costs them $10,000 and, you know, it ends up being about $1 a square foot for the entire shopping center, you're only going to get a portion of that. Now, the portion of that, the percentage in which you can get charged back by the landlord, that part is negotiable. A lot of them will try to do 20 to 25% of that cost back. You can negotiate that down, so you're only paying a small portion of what they had to pay for the improvements.
Is there any way that you can negotiate not only a lower percentage, but a cap of how much that you're willing to put dollars in for common area maintenance?
Yes, and you can also negotiate caps on things, especially for, say, a small business. If you're up first up and running, say your AC unit goes out, it's a 20-ton unit. It's extremely expensive to replace or repair. You can put caps on that as well. Put caps on $500 annually that you would pay to repair the AC, plumbing, and electrical. Those are great caps that you're very easily able to put in there to benefit you so that you're not spending $10,000 to replace an AC unit in a year. But you can also do the caps on common area maintenance. So they can't exceed certain amounts so that you're not hit with some big bill that you were not expecting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Well, see, and these are the kind of things that could really zap all your profits if you didn't even know that those were negotiable or that you really understood what those expenses might be or even be responsible Correct. For them, which makes me also wonder about utilities. You know, I was thinking that in maybe in a gross lease, you said it encompasses all of your expenses, including utilities. So we're talking, you know, perhaps water, electricity, maybe there's natural gas heating. What wiggle room or things should I look for when it comes to utilities that, in fact, I might be surprised about that's a utility cost?
You want to make sure that there are caps in there too on some utilities, but generally speaking for gross leases, the way that they do office buildings is zone, they're having different zones. So you can't just turn on, like you walk into your home and you turn on your AC and it just turns on by itself and you can turn it off and regulate it. Those are really large package units that go over a floor plate, you know, maybe 5,000 to 7,000 square feet or more. So they have to turn on and off at the same time. So one thing you got to kind of look at that at with a gross lease for office buildings is they will turn your AC or heat off at a certain period of time. So if you are a late worker and you're there till 9, 10 o'clock, you're not going to have AC on anymore because it's going to turn on and off by itself based on some of what the landlord says. So if you are a late worker or your business requires, a lot of night work or anything, you need to be cognizant of that in the lease and negotiate the utilities to your benefit so they keep the AC or heat on during the periods of time in which you need it. You'll have to pay for it because it's going to be an overage that's not within your lease, but it's always that is a negotiable part of a lease and something to be aware of if you're doing an office lease.
So would you recommend hiring a leasing agent or attorney to read a lease, to negotiate for you, because obviously there's a number of variables here. And I may, as a business owner, I got expertise, but it's generally not in this.
Right. No, I would absolutely suggest hiring a professional. They're looking out for your best interest. The landlord is looking out for their best interest. So have somebody on your side that will know the ins and outs. And there are different agents that have different expertise, but generally speaking, every agent should know the basic components of commercial leases and be able to help you try to get that a little more weighted onto your benefit before. And it really is zero cost to hire an agent and have them help you negotiate a lease. The landlord is the one paying for the commission for both sides of the transaction. So it is beneficial to have somebody there that is looking out for you.
Now, that's a really good point, too, because those of us who have easily done residential purchases and, or buying or selling of our home, well, we know that we can work with a residential realtor and there's commission involved. You know, it's just part of the package. But you're saying that it's zero cost to me as a business owner to work with someone like you. So how do you get paid, Elizabeth? Because you got to earn a living too.
Well, the landlord pays us. So there's generally a gross commission that's split however the listing agent decides. And, you know, that all as well in commercial can be negotiated. And even if it's for lease by owner or something to that effect. I mean, all those things can really be negotiated. And so just because you see somebody that's not represented, but they have a space that's available, it's always still good to hire an agent because we can always negotiate our fee into that and you still get the benefits and it's not going to cost you any extra in the long run. I've done it many times for lease by owners and it comes out just as successful as anybody that had listed it. Most commercial landlords realize that a lot of people will be represented and it really truly 110% would benefit you to get some extra terms or ideas that would benefit your business, especially small businesses, to get you off the path and know what you're going to be expecting in the future with your leases so you're not surprised, because that's truly the worst.
That's what we're trying to avoid here by talking to you today.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And in fact, just finding the property that would be good to lease in the first place can also be a challenge. So listen, we need to take a quick break. So let's go ahead and do that. And when we come back, I've got some more questions for you about finding that space and a bit more. So hold on. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Liz Brockman, in charge of power at Fidelity Bank. As a woman in business, you know that it all comes down to great relationships with your customers, employees, suppliers, and your bank. That's why we're excited about our new power program. We have designed to meet not only your financial needs to grow your business, but also your non-financial ones, like practical know-how, savvy connections, and trustworthy resources. Whether it's our online Power Member Directory, member-only Facebook group, sponsored events, or more, we are your community partner to help your business succeed and flourish. At Fidelity, we're here for powerful business. When women in business succeed, we all do. To find out more, go to fidelitybankpower.com, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Welcome back. This is Mary Foley, and I'm talking with Elizabeth Morrison about getting a lease and negotiating terms that work for you and not against you. And so, Elizabeth, right before break, I was talking about how it's helpful to work with somebody who knows where to look for commercial space. So when looking for commercial space, it's easy to look at newer developments because like the bright, shiny thing. But there are a lot of older properties in the New Orleans area that you say don't overlook. And why is that?
You don't want to overlook them depending on your business because New Orleans has a different feel as far as how we look at office versus living. There's a lot of live work spaces in the city. There are many more older buildings that have been converted, some to now condos, some to office suites, some to a combo of apartments and office suites. So you don't want to overlook that setting because New Orleans generally has the traditions and culture and streetcars and beautiful things behind it anyways that really do attract people to come into the space. And really, truly, that's 100%. You want people to be attracted to come into your space, whether it be a retail space or an office building. You just want people to be welcome to come in.
And so is there a lot of continued renewal of older properties into these office spaces or retail spaces or combos? Is that still continuing to happen?
That is still continuing to happen. They had a big push in Mid-City in the early 2000s with a lot of the buildings, and they're zoned for general office space and also for apartment living or condo living. So there's still a lot of those buildings there that people can have a renter right next to a law office. And they definitely have kind of kept up the charm of Mid-City and those older buildings and really kind of revitalized, started the push in 2001 to about 2007 with all those buildings getting renovated. And it's starting to kind of help that push to the residential post-Katrina as well to kind of keep Mid-City as the number one places in the city to live and work.
And so, right now, typically, are those leasing properties more expensive per square foot than, let's say, newer ones that might be on North Shore? Or how does that compare?
They don't necessarily compare. The North Shore is going to be a little more suburbanite, a little less office or industrial or anything dense like the South Shore. I mean, the South Shore is obviously less land, so there's less areas to live and work. But they don't necessarily compare. I wouldn't say the rents or any higher than, say, Uptown New Orleans. They kind of sustain themselves as far as the demand for renters and the price that they are able to get for both office and retail. Those kind of sustain themselves in this area because they're very in-demand areas of the city.
Okay. Now, let's say I have a newer business with lots of growth and lots of unknowns in some ways of that growth, and this is my first commercial lease that I want to get. is there anything I can do in my lease to help with my cash flow, especially as a newer business that's growing?
Absolutely. The number one thing is to negotiate a renovation budget if you need it from the landlord, or rent abatement. So for the renovation budget, say you come into a space that used to be an old dentist office, you're trying to convert it into a just general office space, but you have sinks and floors and mismatch carpeting and everything needs to be ripped off. What you can do is negotiate a price per square foot, say $10 a square foot, up to $25 a square foot for you to renovate the space. So the landlord basically pays for your renovation. That's one fantastic way to do it. Another is rent abatement. And the rent abatement is basically 1 to say 4 months at the most, where you're not paying rent to the landlord, you're not paying anything, rent, taxes, insurance, common area maintenance. And that will allow you basically to fund your renovations and or just get you open without having that extra bill on hand. So those are two excellent ways of doing it. And sometimes you can even do a combination of both.
Nice. So there's probably, it sounds like a tendency the landlords go, I'll give you some money, you renovate it, I don't want to do it for you.
Right.
Your style, your cost, but here's kind of a chunk of change.
Yes. And ultimately it benefits them because they get back a space that is going to be in better shape than it was prior to. So ultimately it does benefit them either way, whether they're doing the rent abatement and you're doing improvements, or you're taking the renovation budget, it's going to benefit their property because they're going to get a space back that looks a lot better. It's fresher. It's got, you know, more updated flooring. It's probably easier for them to rent on the back end. So never be afraid to ask whether or not you can get either of those two things from the landlord.
Okay. Funny that you brought up the example of a prior dentist office. My dad is a retired dentist, and I'm thinking to myself, maybe there was some extra, you know, leftover dental molds left behind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you go, I don't want to, I don't even want to see that. That's just so funny. I was thinking of that. What are some of the biggest mistakes we can make when it comes to leasing space? Because we want to avoid those.
I would say number one is not hiring an agent because you're worried about costs associated with it. Check with an agent, talk with them, see what they expect or how they can help you. That's number one. I'd say two, picking the wrong location for an area. You need to consider things like traffic counts and signage and different stuff like that that will enable your business to get off on the right foot and or relocate to the right location so people can find you. You want somebody looking out for your long-term business. You also want to consider things like renewals and how those are handled. If you're expanding, right of first refusal, which means you can get the space next door to you. If they have another tenant in mind, if you're looking to expand, there's all kind of things that you want somebody to kind of look in that crystal ball and say, hey, this may happen to you. Let's consider the space because of that. And give you those factors because you want to have that foresight. If you're a growing business, you're booming, it's going to cost you a lot more to get out of a space and move. So if someone said, hey, Elizabeth, we've got the right of first refusal in this next spot over here. Do you want to rent it? Yes, it's far cheaper than trying to pick up your space and move it all over there. So you want an agent looking out for you 100% and not the landlord. So you can make sure that you're making those good decisions, and it's a comprehensive decision about now or 5 years from now.
And that is a really excellent point that didn't even go through my mind, which is I'm so consumed about now. And am I getting the right space for now? Am I getting the right terms for now? But someone like yourself could go, okay, that's great for now. Now, what are you anticipating as your business growth, or what are some scenarios? And let's make sure we consider and cover those in this current lease. So again, I just love this idea of working with a leasing agent like yourself or someone that can represent me, because then you can be objective. You can ask these very simple questions about my business. You're not attached to, is it right or is it wrong? Is it going to succeed? Is it going to fail? You're just asking some questions. So I'm really thinking through, and oh my gosh, I probably would avoid even a space that I go, this is so cool. And you go, but here's the thing you got to watch for, right? So
Right.
There's just so many things like that. Wow. So I want to ask you a very different question, and that is, what was the moment in your journey that inspired you to do what you're doing now?
Well, it's sort of a funny story. My father, he was a commercial broker, and he worked for one of the larger firms in the city. And he said, I was in college at Tulane, and he said, "You well, I think at this point you need to help participate a little bit financially and pay for my sorority dues." So, yeah, I said, "Well, that's fine. I guess I'll just get my real estate license," thinking, "Hey, that's not that hard." Well, it was a lot harder than I thought, but it turns out to be just a really fun journey, helping people, whether it's for their business or for finding a house. Truly, it turns out just to be one of the most best parts of my life. A great aspect of things is helping people, and that's what gives me the most joy out of everything on a daily basis. So I've been actually doing this since 2001.
Wow.
And been a broker for 8 years, and it's something that can be a little arduous at time and sometimes a little frustrating, but ultimately it's just one of the best jobs in the world.
Well, you know, the fact that it's sometimes arduous and frustrating is really about how, you know, you are helping people in a hard process. And hey, yes. I'm sure that also by this point you have well paid for the sorority dues and now are just being able to have, earn a living paying for other kinds of dues. Who knows? But that's so funny.
Well, yes, we do that now too. Well, he did not expect me to get that particular type of job, but it turns out we had a very shared common interest in real estate and always have. So it was a nice thing to share with my father as well. So
I love that. That's right. My dad wanted me to be the dentist, but I said no. So we didn't get to share that. This has really been helpful and great. Elizabeth, for those who want to learn more about you, to connect with you, what's the best way for them to get in touch?
Give me a call anytime on my cell phone. It's 504-453-0057, or email me at Liz Morrison. That's LizMorrison at remax.net. I'm available generally any time of the day, 7 days a week.
Love it. Yep. That sounds like a realtor, available 24/7.
Correct.
Thank you again for your time today, for your expertise. I think that you have taken a lot of the confusion out of leasing a commercial space, and we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
All of us have powerful people in our lives, just like the one on today's Power Plug podcast. Our Power program is unlike any other in our region. At Fidelity, we're bringing amazing women together to be part of something special. We not only have banking and financial options with women entrepreneurs in mind, we also provide opportunities for you to make valuable connections and to promote your business. At Fidelity, we're here for powerful business. When women in business succeed, we all do. To find out more, go to fidelitybankpower.com. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Whew, wow, that was fast. But we hope you are feeling re-energized to power up your business and go after your dreams. Make sure you stay recharged. Subscribe to the Power Plug podcast at fidelitybankpower.com so you can get the latest episode as soon as it comes out. Until next time, keep believing in the power of you, just like we do.